You're listening to WBH Radio. I am your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me on another episode. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever podcasts are found, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Greatly appreciate it. Few things I want to get into today. I want to talk about Rob Manfred going after his star, Mike Trout. Some NBA news. In fact, let's start right here. The Kawhi Leonard saga is finally over. The San Antonio Spurs traded him to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan. And I've seen people speculate, well, who won the trade? My answer is both teams, the Spurs and the Raptors. One of the most underrated qualities a person, a business can have is being self-aware. If you understand what your strengths and weaknesses are and how it pertains to everybody else in the room around you, that can make you a valuable asset. And in this trade, I saw two teams who were self-aware. The San Antonio Spurs turned a distressed asset in Kawhi Leonard into an all-star player with DeMar DeRozan, an all-star player who was locked up until the year 2022. The San Antonio Spurs understand if you're a primetime free agent in the NBA and you got your choice when it comes to which team you want to go to, chances are you're not saying, man, I can't wait to sign with San Antonio. Man, I can't wait to get down there to Texas and that Riverwalk. So the Spurs understood this. That's why you never hear them talk about, man, we're saving all our eggs for free agency. No. They turned a disgruntled player into a quality all-star in DeMar DeRozan. And they got him locked up for the next couple of years. The Spurs have always done their work in the draft, whether it's Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. So for them to be able to acquire another all-star, somebody who will probably never sign with the Spurs in free agency, was a good move for them. They had lemons and they turned it into lemonade. The whole league knew that the Spurs were in a compromising situation. The Lakers did not want to give up any assets because they knew, hey, Kawhi Leonard is out of there. So I think for the Spurs to be able to turn that disadvantage, that position they were in where the whole world knew Kawhi wanted out of there. They had no leverage when it came to making a deal, to making a trade. Yet they were able to turn that into a free agent, into an all-star guard from the East. And DeMar DeRozan, I thought it was an excellent move by the Spurs. And on the Raptors side, again, another franchise exercising self-awareness. The Raptors acquired a finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard. Now people say, yo, that's a risk because Kawhi Leonard is a free agent after this year. Well, so what? We just saw it work with the Oklahoma City Thunder. When they traded for Paul George, he was a free agent. People wondered, would they be able to re-sign him? And having Paul George in that building for a year, having the opportunity to show them what that franchise is about and what they could do for him and their family, they were able to re-sign him. The Toronto Raptors are taking a gamble. The Toronto Raptors, too, understand, hey, if you're an NBA free agent, chances are you're not looking to go north of the border. That's why the Raptors have always done their work in the draft as well. Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh. So I think it's a great move by the Raptors to take a chance. Yo, let's get Kawhi in our building. We got a year to show him and his family that, hey, Toronto might be a place for you to set up shop for years to come. And if he does walk away, that's not a loss. See, the Toronto Raptors are coming off of their franchise best season. The biggest number of wins they've ever had. They had DeMar DeRozan's an all-star, Kyle Lowry's an all-star. And still, after having their best season, they got swept in the playoffs. And the most demoralizing part about being swept, you know, when you looked at the whole picture, is you said, damn. They don't have any roster flexibility. They just paid Lowry. They just paid DeRozan. They just paid Serge Ibaka. So not only were you the best version of yourself and you got swept, but you're stuck from here on out. There's no moves you can make. You can't get your fan base energized again with this same team. You can't get your sponsors energized again. So they were stuck. And I think the Raptors show you how stuck they were because they changed. They fired their head coach, Dwayne Casey. They fired him in a year in which he won Coach of the Year. Now, that was the only move they could make. NBA guaranteed contracts. They couldn't cut DeRozan. Nobody wanted to trade for him. They couldn't cut Kyle Lowry. They couldn't do. They had nowhere to go. So they said, you know what? Let's give our coach the axe. But then this opportunity came up with Kawhi Leonard out of left field. The Raptors said, hey, let's take a shot. Let's get Kawhi in our building. And if he leaves, we got from under that DeMar DeRozan contract. We could bottom out and get ourselves back in the draft lottery where we have always acquired our stars. See, in the NBA, if you're not winning the championship, you want to be in that lottery. Now, getting stuck in the 2 seed and the 3 seed and the 6 seed in the NBA playoffs, that doesn't do anything to advance your franchise. You remember that Atlanta Hawks team from years ago with Josh Smith and Joe Johnson? They were always in the playoffs, get knocked out by LeBron, and then there was no upward movement. They couldn't get any free agents. They couldn't get anybody in the draft. They were stuck. That's like NBA purgatory. So for the Raptors to take a shot, get a chance to woo Kawhi Leonard, and if he walks, you bottom out, back in the NBA lottery, and a position to acquire yourself a legitimate star. I love that move for both teams. Good job by both franchises understanding who they are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. Self-awareness. Now, DeMar DeRozan was unhappy about the trade. He actually tweeted something out. What did he write? He said, ain't no loyalty in this game. He thought he was going to be a Raptor for life. And when he tweeted that out, my boy DA texted me. He said, yo, Will, what's up with these kids, man? They don't understand it's a business. He had all that opportunity in Toronto. He did nothing with it, getting swept. I said, yeah, DA, you know what? These guys are babies. But then I realized it's not always on the player. If it came out that the Raptors general manager told him just 48 hours prior to the trade, hey, man, you're part of our future. That's deceitful. So I'm not always going to put it on the players. These executives, these guys running around with expense accounts and nice fancy ties, they need to do a better job of communicating. You don't have to blow smoke up somebody's ass. You can be honest with somebody, be forthright. For him to deceive the guy and say, yo, you're going to be a part of our plan, the guy probably went home, told his wife, his kids, baby, don't worry, we staying here. And then 48 hours later, you trade him? No, that's on the executive. What people respect most is authenticity. If DeMar came in, you could have shook his hand, looked him in the eye, and said, you know what, DeMar? We're going to do what's best for this team. I'm going to try to keep you abreast of the situation as best I can. But to lie, to miscommunicate, these executives need to do a better job. We look in football at Bill Belichick. All the movement that goes on with the New England Patriots. Many say he's cutthroat. We never hear any backlash. And my interpretation is that is Bill Belichick is probably telling these guys the truth from the minute they walk in the door. Yo, it's great to have you here, but if an opportunity comes to improve this team, that's what we're going to do. Same, when I was in the Yankee organization, Brian Cashman, he is always moving teams, always looking to improve the roster, do his best for the pinstripes. He's not selling any of these kids a dream. Hey, welcome. But you understand it's about these pinstripes, and if an opportunity comes to improve this team and you're not a part of this plan, I'm going to have to move in that direction. If you're a player, if you're an athlete, you can't do anything but respect that. So executives, man, step your game up. That one's not on DeMar DeRozan. I don't blame him for being frustrated. If 48 hours prior to the trade, the organization said, yo, you're going to be a part of the future. One last thing I wanted to talk about on this trade. Yo, is it time to reevaluate where we hold Greg Popovich when it comes to NBA elite coaches? Now, Greg Popovich just had a finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard who said, get me the hell out of here. Kawhi Leonard could have earned the most money by staying with the Spurs. He could have signed a Supermax deal for $220 million, but he said, no. You can have that money. Get me the hell away from the San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich. I'm like, damn, Pop. I thought you were one of the best leaders out there. But let's really look at his resume. Popovich has, what, 5 championships? But I would say he was only able to do that under one regime. And he had 2 of the most unique players in NBA history. For one, he had David Robinson. David Robinson came out of the U.S. Naval Academy. I don't think we'll ever see another superstar come from one of the military academies. So David Robinson was a unique mental makeup. This man was prepared to go fight for his country, making $30,000 a year being in the Navy. So he stumbled across an NBA career. And he just sat quietly and listened to everything Pop said. Then came Tim Duncan. A dude from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Again, another unique personality. The last player to play 4 years of college basketball and be the number one pick. Tim Duncan was a swimmer. Him, too, just stumbled across a professional basketball career, and he just sat quietly and listened to Pop. Yeah, they were able to win 5 championships, but they never went back-to-back. So, Popovich, yes, you were able to capture the champ, but you only did it with one regime. I seen Phil Jackson do it with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I seen Pat Riley do it with the Showtime Lakers, and then he moved on to the Knicks, and now he's in Miami. Even the great Larry Brown, he had the kid that was Allen Iverson in Philadelphia, went on to win a championship with the Detroit Pistons. Pop, you looking like a one-trick pony, right? I've never seen you. You seem to have an issue with the young AAU hip-hop type personality and NBA player. Let's go back to when you had Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson, you guys won a championship, but that thing crumbled when you told Steven Jackson he had to stand up in front of the team and admit his teammates were better than him. How could you do that to a basketball player? No basketball player worth his weight in salt is going to say anybody's better than him. Okay? So, boom. You lost that relationship. You guys signed LaMarcus Aldridge. LaMarcus Aldridge is doing great things in Portland. He comes to San Antonio. He has the worst season of his career. After 1 year, he said, get me out of here. And now Kawhi Leonard. Again, the AAU kid. The hip-hop talent. The dude with personality. You weren't able to corral him. You offended him to the point you questioned his basketball ability. He said, yo, get me out of here. So, Pop, what's going on? The NBA is not the U.S. Navy soldier and David Robinson, the Caribbean swimmer and Tim Duncan. You seem to struggle with these other personalities. So, I don't know. We need to reevaluate what we hold Pop. Is he one of the greatest? I need to see him do it again. Now that Tim Duncan's gone, now that his ace is gone, I seen Phil Jackson reinvent himself. Pat Riley did the same. He had Magic Johnson, Showtime Lakers. He went to New York. He had Patrick Ewing playing. He went to Miami. He had D. Wade. So, Pop, I wonder if the game is passing you by. For you to lose a talent like Kawhi Leonard in the prime of his career, that can't be good for your resume. Can't be good for your resume. You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Please check me out on Twitter at WBH Radio. As you guys know, LeBron James is in Los Angeles right now. On my previous podcast, I just said, yo, I was happy for LeBron. This seemed to be the first time he made a decision where it wasn't based on which teammates are going to be over there, what's my probability of winning the championship. He just said, you know what? I want my family in LA. That's the best move for me. I'm going. Whoever's joining along with me, that's great. If not, we're still going to make things happen. I thought this was the first time LeBron was really fearless, really willing to be vulnerable. And what I saw in the coming days after that decision is people questioned his desire to win basketball games. They said his move to LA is kind of a semi-retirement. He wants to go out there and be a movie star. And I thought to myself, I don't know about that. I mean, I've questioned LeBron's competitiveness at times, but I don't think he's going to LA to be a movie star and just forget about basketball. I think that's a stretch, especially in 2018 where guys use private jets like the taxi. LeBron James could have had any actor, producer, director on his front lawn in Akron, Ohio with the snap of his fingers. He didn't need to move to LA to get movie deals done. So I think that's a bit exaggerated when we talk about the story of LeBron moving to LA just for the movies. And they highlight that he had a dinner with Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Pacino last week. You see, he just wants to go out of there for Hollywood. Yo, last time I looked at my calendar, it did read July. This is the offseason. Whether LeBron James re-signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers, signed with the Knicks, or the freaking Shanghai Sharks of China, he would have still been in LA at this point in time. He has an offseason home in Brentwood, California. So because he had dinner with Hollywood actors, doesn't mean, yo, it's all about movies now. No matter what team he had signed with, he would have been in LA. And let me tell you a little bit about working inside. From what I've seen when I worked inside professional organizations, I was with the New York Rangers. I was with the New York Yankees. Yo, during the season, you don't bother the professional athlete. The sponsors know to leave them alone. It's about the basketball team and their family. So LeBron James plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, right? But what does that matter when he's on a 14-day, six-game East Coast swing? He's not going to be making movie deals. Basketball is still the first order of business. They got a game at 7 p.m. They got shoot around at 11 a.m. If you tweaked your ankle the night before, what time do you think you go see the trainer? There is no time for business during the season. There is no time for off-court business during the season. I think the reports of LeBron James moving to LA for Hollywood is greatly exaggerated. It's in LA every February that the Lakers get kicked out of the Staples Center for the Grammys. LeBron James is going to be traveling to the East Coast to the Knicks that for pundits to get on TV and say, yo, he's throwing in the towel on basketball. He doesn't care about championships. That can't be true. I remember being in the Rangers building. If you know, the Rangers are owned by the New York Knicks. The owner, James Dolan, owns the New York Knicks and the Rangers. I would be in the building at 7 a.m., and I would see Carmelo Anthony walking. I'm like, damn, Melo, didn't you just leave the garden at 11 p.m. last night? The NBA lifestyle is not much free time, guys. There's not much free time. So if those people think LeBron is throwing in a towel for Hollywood, they're dead wrong. Going to get out of here real quick. I got one more thing I want to address, and this is something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is leadership. I think leadership, great leadership, can be the difference between life and death. You know, that's not hyperbole. If you look out here, just think of in our own lives, the people we had to pull us along, our parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, people that gave us the foundation, allow us to catapult to great things. But if you look outside, there's kids that don't have that leadership, that are lost, that don't have that foundation, that didn't have that head start. I go back to my own time in the military. I remember I was in one unit. I just kept getting in trouble because I stopped shaving. If you know, as a black man, to shave with a razor, that could be brutal. I got fed up. My face was all scarred, bumped. I said, yo, we got to figure something out. Nobody would help me. They just kept writing me up. Every day I come, writing me up. Finally, they moved me to a new squad. My supervisor looked at me. He said, bro, we're going to get you squared away. We're going to figure you out. He gave me some magic powder, shave, something. I was finally shaving, and I went on to have a great military career. I went on to being a soldier that I knew I could be, thanks to that leadership. So the other day, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, he kind of called out one of his star players, Los Angeles Angels center fielder Mike Trout. Matter of fact, let me play the clip of what he said.
Wing their brand is a really high priority for us. And I think where Mike is relevant, our ability to do that in today's world is dependent on one thing. Player marketing is dependent on having a player. I think Mike Trout could raise his profile tomorrow if he decided that he wanted to engage a little more fully, give up some more of his free time. And that's his choice. I mean, that really is his choice. What player marketing takes in today's world, you got to be willing to be out there on social media. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, and you have to devote time to it.
So that was Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred telling us that if Mike Trout wants to be a bigger star, it's really up to Mike Trout. And the reason he's not a star is due to a lack of his personal effort, whether it be social media or getting out there. I talked about leadership, right, and how it being life or death. Well, one of my pet peeves when it comes to leadership is those who enjoy all of the pluses of being a boss, of being the top guy. You know, you get to fly in a private jet, you get the expense accounts, you get to parade around and be recognized as the leader of Major League Baseball. But then when it comes to the responsibility part, guys kind of shirk it, you know? They kind of pass the buck. And in my opinion, this is a place where Rob Manfred is shirking his responsibility. If Mike Trout is not a star, that's on Major League Baseball as well. If I had the opportunity, I would ask Rob Manfred, I mean, what is your job title? What are your duties? I'm sure at the top of that is custodian of the game. You are responsible for help growing the game, helping to expand the brand of stars like Mike Trout. By all accounts, from all the experts I've seen, they said Mike Trout is one of the greatest players in history already. Already. If Major League Baseball can't help this man get to the top, that's on them. I'm sure Rob Manfred has a team of guys in that Major League Baseball office who are marketing execs who believe they're good at their job. Well, if you are, sell this young man. Okay? And I would ask Rob Manfred, who are your crossover stars? Whose blueprint would you like Mike Trout to follow? Alex Rodriguez? Alex Rodriguez is full with controversy, full with scandal. Do you want Mike Trout to have a shady cousin like Cousin Yuri? Do you want Mike Trout being followed by Anderson Cooper in 60 Minutes? You strip away A-Rod's scandals. He's no different than Mike Trout. A-Rod has never said anything significant in the public eye. Never done anything spectacular. We know him for negative things. Who else would you consider a crossover star? Okay, I'll give you Derek Jeter. But let's look at G. He had the privilege of playing in the media capital of the world. He played a lot of postseason baseball and won a lot of games. You strip away those two things, things that are out of Mike Trout's control. Him too has never said anything significant in the public eye, never done anything spectacular. You strip away those things, he is Mike Trout. Mike Trout is Jeter. And another piece on Derek Jeter. We know him as much for what he's done on page six, for as what he's done on the back pages. part of Derek Jeter's star is the beautiful women he's dated. Well, Mike Trout is married. So sorry, Major League Baseball, you're not going to be able to catch him coming out of restaurants with supermodels. But that's not a knock against Trout. If you have one of the most talented players your game has ever seen, he's staying off the police blotters. He's staying out of trouble. If you can't help him expand his brand, if you can't help make him a bigger star, that's Major League Baseball's problem. And I think Rob Manfred has an inflated view of his baseball players and their crossover appeal. As I look through the stars, there are no real crossover athletes. I mentioned Jeter. Okay, he played a lot of postseason baseball. Alex Rodriguez, scandal. Barry Bonds, scandal. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Who are your crossover stars? Okay, Aaron Judge is on the rise. My guy, Aaron Judge. You heard him on his podcast. But him too. Luxury of a great postseason run last year. Playing in the media capital of the world. Playing in the media capital of the world. In my 33 years, I think Major League Baseball has only had one true crossover star. Somebody that was known for their talents, their marketability, no scandals, no controversies, not because of who they dated, who they aligned themselves with, just purely based on talent and their marketability. And that's the kid, Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr., I believe, is the only true crossover baseball star in my lifetime. And let's take a look at all that it took for him to be that star. First off, Ken Griffey is a legacy act. His dad played in the major leagues. So we were aware of Ken Griffey Jr. coming through the pipeline. He had the advantage of being a namesake of somebody who played in Major League Baseball. And not only that, he played at the same time as his father, on the same team, in the same outfield. Yo, isn't that what baseball is about? Throwing the ball around in the backyard with your dad? Well, they did that on the Major League stage. That brought in a lot of eyeballs. In fact, there's a play, it's one of the most endearing things I've ever seen in sports. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. are in the outfield. Ken Griffey Sr. is getting ready to make a routine catch. Ken Griffey Jr. sprints over and snatches the ball before his dad can catch it and gives him a little smile like, give me that, old man. Your time is up. And they run off the field laughing and giggling, man. One of the most endearing things we'll ever see in sports. So that's number one. Ken Griffey Jr. had the legacy act. He also had Nike behind him. We know the marketing machine Nike is, right? I had kids in my school. We couldn't point to the direction of a baseball field, but we knew when them Griffey sneakers was coming out. Boys and girls alike, we knew when them Griffey sneakers was coming out. And then outside of that, he had Nintendo. Ken Griffey Jr. baseball Nintendo, we played that for hours. So what took all of those factors to make Griffey a star? That you're one crossover star without controversy. Okay. Mike Trout isn't a namesake. He may not have the sneaker deal. He may not have the game deal. But Major League Baseball, y'all need to look in the mirror and help to make this guy a bigger star. And it's not just Mike Trout you guys are dropping the ball on, okay? All of Latin America, these Latin stars, you guys are failing to market them properly. Case in point, I was in the Yankee locker room. I got to know the great Aroldis Chapman. Do you know Aroldis Chapman is signed to a sports agency that is spearheaded by international musician Mark Anthony? Did you know that? I'm sure many people don't because Major League Baseball doesn't share those stories. It's great when the rock stars get close to the game, right? The NBA is always telling us about Jay-Z and Roc Nation Sports and his relationship with Kevin Durant. Major League Baseball, you got an international star with his hands in your sport. We would never know from your marketing efforts. Rob Manfred went on to say that he wants his stars to be on the same level as the NBA stars. Let's take a look at Russell Westbrook, crossover star. Everybody knows that name. Russell Westbrook might be as known for his fashion as anything else. Well, you know how that started? It's because the NBA had camera shots of these guys getting out of their cars, walking to the locker room. The NBA made that a point of emphasis. Yeah, you see what some of these guys walking in the locker room with? Let's get that. Does Major League Baseball do that? I've never seen that. I've never seen any of these players outside of a New Era fitted cap. Does baseball take a shot? If you saw the way some of those players walked into the stadium, you would see stars. The jewelry, the flashing lights, the cameras, the suits, whatever you want. All different elements, suit, ties, hip-hop, urban. But Major League Baseball doesn't highlight those stars. Doesn't highlight that aspect of the game. So you're getting in your own way. Every baseball player has a song that he walks to the plate in. There's content right there. There's a story behind all those songs. Hey, man, why'd you pick that song? Do we ever get that information? No. Again, another area of baseball is dropping the ball. And I was looking at the Major League Baseball schedule for today. They have a show called Quick Pitch, MLB Central, High Heat, The Rundown. You can check those shows out for yourself, but take my word for it. All they are is old people in suits talking about baseball. Major League, I would ask you, where is your version of Inside Stuff? Yeah, you remember when we were younger, we watched NBA Inside Stuff on a Saturday morning? We would watch our favorite basketball players in different elements, whether they were going back home, going to the neighborhood they were raised in, going back to their high school. We got to see them away from the court. Major League Baseball, where's your version of that show? How could we ever get to learn your athletes? You guys rather promote old folks in suits talking about baseball all day. All day, I'm looking at your schedule. Nothing to highlight the stars you guys have. So, yeah, you dropping the ball in Latin America, I'll give you a pass. Maybe you don't know how to market them just yet. But Mike Trout, a native of this country, somebody that's spectacular on the field. In fact, the NFL has done a better job of marketing Mike Trout. I learned that Mike Trout was a Philadelphia Eagles fan from the NFL. Oh, snap. Mike Trout's an Eagles fan? He's probably from Northeast, this side of the country. That's more information that baseball has ever given us. You guys got stars all over that place. I've been in the locker rooms. Trust me, I know. There was another guy you guys had, Madison Bumgarner. He won the World Series a few years ago with the San Francisco Giants. Do you know what that guy brought his wife for their anniversary one time? Or it was her birthday? He brought his wife a cow. You don't think that's an interesting story? Here we got this country boy playing on the world stage, World Series champion, the glitz and glamour. And what's he go get his wife? A cow. Shoot, Hollywood made a whole sitcom and movie about that. It's called the Beverly Hillbillies. Country boy now in the big time. Man, I would have knew that cow's name. There would have been giveaways. That's an interesting story. You guys are dropping the ball. And I want to leave you with this last piece. Rob Manfred called on Mike Trout. Says he needs to do a better job of marketing. Over the last couple of years, Mike Trout has played for the Anaheim Angels. They then changed their name to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And now they're simply just the Los Angeles Angels. No stadium change, no uniform change. Major League Baseball can't even decide what city the young man is playing in. Y'all dropping the ball on marketing his team. So how could you expect him to do better in that circus? Y'all can't even determine which team he's playing for. So Rob Manfred, before you point the finger, man, just look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, please. That's WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Please subscribe to the podcast. I'm out.